The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome back. As President-elect Trump assembles his cabinet with a flurry of picks over the weekend, according to a CBS YouGov poll, almost 6 in 10 Americans approve of his handling of the transition.
The American people are liking what they are seeing. 59% approve of Trump's handling of the presidential transition. A majority excited or optimistic about what he'll do as president. With numbers like that, it's no surprise the so-called resistance, air quotes, is losing steam. Axios notes this. While President-elect Trump's 2016 win sparked shock, outrage, and massive protest, the response to the 2024 victory has been more muted.
So we have to just keep fighting. I can't say I was surprised.
There is so much excitement right now in this country by so many people I run into. I mean, there's a friend of mine in California. He's a doctor, and we don't talk about politics that much. I mean, he's sending me all these gifts of the Giphys, dancing and everything else. People are very happy. Everybody's happy. And the fact that 59% are supporting the president's choices is really an indication that people are ready for the change that Donald Trump promised. They are ready to move out the illegals. They are ready for an economy that works. They are ready for law and order.
Fox News alert, special counsel Jack Smith just filed motions to drop both of his federal cases against Trump. A judge immediately approved one motion, and the January 6th case is officially dead. And by the end of the week, we expect the documents case to be dead too. That's not all. Smith is taking his ball and he's going home, saying he's going to step down as special counsel before Trump takes office. Meanwhile, Trump's reportedly planning to fire any and all federal lawyers who had anything to do with either of these two prosecutions.
What Smith knew is that this election would have the effect of the largest jury verdict in history, that if the president was elected, he was out of a job. And that turned out to be true.
You see all these headlines and these clips, obviously. It makes me think of what Trump said some years ago. We're going to get, I think this was leading up to the first term, where he said that we're going to win so much that you're going to get tired of winning. I don't think anyone on his side is tired of winning, but he's claiming lots of victories. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots to get to on today's show, even on a day or a week when the news cycle slows down a bit. So much. I mean, if the news cycle's slowing down, the Trump campaign, or not the campaign, but his president-elect duties, he is carrying them out. And as you heard there, a large majority of people, they're supportive of it. 60%. I mean, it's bad enough for the radical Democrats to lose the election in a landslide. All the swing states, they lost the House, they lost the Senate. And now you see a large majority of Americans supporting Donald Trump. And as one of them brought out in the cold open there, the resistance, it's losing steam. Even the regime media is trying to figure out, okay, how do we go forward from all of this? We said he was Hitler, and Hitler won by a large majority. That we had a Democratic vote. It was too big to rig. Jesse Waters touched on the media. Some of them, not all of them, but the media changing their tune. Listen to clip 3.
How do you interpret the media not really understanding how they're supposed to cover this White House and cabinet? I mean, it's incredibly ideologically diverse. It's racially diverse. There's tons of women in very high-powered positions. They can't seem to wrap their heads around it.
You know, it's everything that they claimed Trump was. He's shown that they were A, liars, but also, too, it's showing the American people that you can have someone that genuinely cares about this country that could have literally stayed at home and played golf for the rest of their life, chose to do the right thing, which is fight for this country, and really bring everyone on board. And I think the media is really struggling with the fact that right now you have these different social media platforms where President Trump has been able to leverage and get the truth out there. So they're having to play ball, which is exactly why they're having to report the truth now, which is surprisingly refreshing.
It is refreshing. Again, there's a few notable exceptions like Rachel Maddow and so on, but there, some of them are having to report the truth. They've been exposed. The lies and the propaganda have been exposed. That's why it's so hilarious to see the Axios guy and then the meltdown people cheering him on, as you heard yesterday on the show. Because they've been lying, and Americans have awakened, and they've seen the lies, and they're fed up, and they're leaving. They're leaving. The audiences are gone for these regime media outlets. You know, last week we went through Psalm 37 about when God turns the tables on the evildoers. One of our news gatherers mentioned that Romans 13 is a perfect passage as well. Given what we're seeing in Romans 13, 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." I know we have a democratic election and people think that the power is with the people. But God, I mean, look at what God allowed in 2020, 4 years ago. All of that corruption, an obvious steal. The election was rigged. And God allowed the fake president to come in there. He wasn't legitimate, never was. But God allowed all of those things. This time around, as I say, it was too big to rig. This is of God. That's what we have to keep stepping back to observe. Get God's perspective. I've been emphasizing this so much with the students of late. To view it through God's eyes. What is God doing? God was behind the return of Donald Trump. We were saying it would happen for 4 years. We were saying it back when no one thought it was possible. A lot of people thought it was impossible a year ago. Well, I'm not supporting Trump because he's a loser. He's gonna Mitt Romney. He loses every time. Romney says that from his home in Utah, I presume, because of his loss. Well, he didn't run because he knew he would lose. And how Utah decides. I just said it's of God, so God allowed it. But the people of Utah, they decide on a Romney clone of all things to replace him. It's pretty funny. Verse 2 of Romans 13 here, it says, "Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." I mean, the resistance has been so strong, the deep state resistance, and as you heard in some of our clips yesterday, it's as if it's been defanged. I mean, that's Politico's take. This is Axios's take. And you heard there from the cold open. I mean, the movement, you know, it's losing steam. Jack Smith, he drops his cases. What is happening? How is this even possible? I mean, they were manipulating and changing. They were even adding laws so that they could get Trump. Where's all of that now? Now you're seeing more truth. You're actually seeing a little bit of humility. I never thought that would be possible with the media. I mean, they're not coming out and saying we got it wrong, but they are kissing the ring, some of them. They are changing their tune because they're losing audiences. And they're losing so much of their audience. If you think about a new king arriving, just like I said recently as well, when Solomon was made king, I mean, he executed justice. And this is what they fear over at Maine Justice. This is why Jack Smith is dropping the cases. And I know there's people saying he's left himself an out, and they can still go after Trump when Trump's out of office. Can you imagine these people, as deranged as they are right now, to still get Trump even when he's done with two terms? What is that, 2029? They're going to put these on ice and then resurrect them from the dead. In fact, they're like the cockroaches scurrying under the furious light. They are fleeing the scene. They're going to be out of there before Trump's people show up. Verse 3 of Romans 13. It says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same, for he's the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid." You should be afraid if you're at Maine Justice at the moment. You should be afraid if you're at the FBI. You should be afraid if you're one of these radical left-wing judges as well. Are those judges, Marchand and others, that went after Trump, are they above the law? They twisted and distorted the law themselves to get Trump. And now they've gone quiet. Now they've gone silent. God has silenced them. It says here, "For he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." As I say, Solomon came in and executed some wrath on Adonijah, Abiathar, Joab, Shimei. And then things quickly settled down. Everyone started to respect and honor the king. God put Donald Trump in that position. And I know there's still going to be some fighting. There's still plenty of rhinos to go around. They're going to fight the cabinet picks and so on. But God put him in there, and God compares him to a king in 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7. And you're seeing him carry out some king-like authority. He's obviously not Hitler. Gates doesn't go through, and he picks another one, as I said yesterday. But he is wielding the sword, so to speak. He is. This is from Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. "There's another caravan of illegal aliens approaching the U.S. southern border through Mexico. President-elect Donald Trump wants the Mexican government to stop this nonsense immediately." And keep this in mind, he's not even president yet. "To put teeth into his demand, Trump has announced a 25% tariff on all imported goods from Mexico and Canada." This is from Trump yesterday. This is his statement. "As everyone is aware, thousands of people are pouring through Mexico and Canada, bringing crime and drugs at levels never seen before. Right now, a caravan coming from Mexico, composed of thousands of people, seems to be unstoppable in its quest to come through our country or come through our currently open border. On January 20th, listen to this. On January 20th, as one of my many first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States." Everything. Boom, he lowers the boom on both nations, our neighbors. I mean, that's some king-like authority. That's some decision-making from a leader at the top. We'll see what Mexico and Canada does to secure their end of the border. And as I say, Trump's, what, 50-some days away? He's not even in office yet. And already, well, we played those clips for you last week. Already, the country seems different. Already, I mean, things have calmed down. Even the resistance, those that resisted Donald Trump back in 2016 and 17. Where are they? Listen to Jesse Waters. He's commenting on the illegal migrant situation. Clip 2.
Now, if they read the polls, they'd realize black and brown people back mass deportations. It's only the white liberals who don't. In New York City, brutal Venezuelan gangs are recruiting kids from migrant families to join their ranks. In Virginia, an illegal with a mile-long rap sheet was arrested for attempting to rape someone just days after being popped from jail. And at the border, an unaccompanied two-year-old was found by Border Patrol with only a paper containing names and phone numbers. Watch.
Venezuela, mama. Venezuela. Sí. ¿Qué tantos años tienes? Dos años. ¿No vienes con tu mamá y tu papá? ¿No? Venezuela. ¿Para dónde vas, mamá? ¿Dónde están? Estados Unidos.
Michelle Obama's Chris O'Mara, one of her deputies, getting rich off the backs of migrant kids. She runs an NGO called Global Refuge, which houses and provides services to migrant kids. In 2018, her group had $50 million in revenue. 3 years later, it quadrupled thanks to a $180 million federal grant from Joe. And even though it helped half as many kids compared to 2019, Chris's salary more than doubled. She makes about a $500,000. She gets rich the more migrant kids come in. The more open the border, the more money Michelle Obama's people make. Think about that. The machine wants chaos at the border and our streets, and they don't care who gets hurt. We do.
They organize the chaos, line their pockets, the Obama people, and the cartels. The cartels, they're lining their pockets. Here there's children, unaccompanied. They're going after the mother in Georgia for sending her boy down the street to the convenience store. 10 years old. They've got to put her in jail. And they don't care. They don't care about these children. A two-year-old on their own. There's 300,000 that are unaccounted for. Children in the United States. The Obamas, the cartels. This from the Financial Post about how dependent Canada is on trade with the U.S. Trump campaigned on the promise to slap an across-the-board tariff on all imports. It has caused significant concern with a Canadian Chamber of Commerce report suggesting a 10% tariff could take a $30 billion bite out of the Canadian economy. Now Trump, because of the border chaos, he's saying it's going to be 25%. I think that's good. Even Justin Trudeau is going to get a little concerned about this. This will get his attention. More than 77% of Canadian exports go to the U.S., and trade comprises 60% of Canada's gross domestic product. You don't help us out. Trump did this the first time around. And all of a sudden, the Mexican government straightened up. If you don't help us with Remain in Mexico or whatever it is, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for this. That's king-like authority right there. And people sit up and take note. They listen when the king speaks, just like when Solomon came in. And again, I think Romans 13 applies. As does Psalm 37. Not everyone in the regime, of course, is on board with the Trump agenda or has stopped resisting. This was Rachel Maddow last night, recently took a pay cut of $5 million. This is what she said, clip five.
Honestly, in terms of what to watch for next, I think we need to be watching for something that they call autocratic breakthrough. Autocratic breakthrough is when the party in power uses the power they do have in government to make sure they can never be dislodged from government. I'll give you a concrete example. You've already seen in the House of Representatives, now that Mike Johnson is back in as Republican House Speaker, they changed the rules in the House to make it much harder to remove him as Speaker. Right. So that's them digging in, planning to stay for the long run. Now we're here. You're not going to be able to get us out. You've seen Trump, quote, joking, end quote, about expecting to stay in office for a third term once this second term is up. And that's, of course, against the Constitution. But he keeps repeatedly bringing it up that that's his expectation.
Mike Johnson, the autocrat. Mike Johnson. They changed some rules in Congress, and that's a sign. And, of course, the Trump joke. Trump told a joke. And Rachel Maddow sounding the alarm. It's amazing she still makes $25 million. How does she ever get to be $30 million? She's got one show a week? Seriously? She's got to be the highest paid talking head on cable news. And no wonder Comcast is trying to trim the fat. Let go of MSNBC. Let's sell it. Let's get rid of it. Let's change the name. It's bad for business. It's bad for branding. This is the Obama aide, Ben Rhodes, last night on one of the shows, clip 8.
They're talking about using executive orders to turn the U.S. government into something it has never been before, which is a deeply ideological institution. It is not some left-wing institution. We're talking about experts. We're not talking about left-right here. I don't know the politics. When I was in government, I didn't know the politics of almost anybody sitting around the table in the White House Situation Room. Frankly, a lot of those people are very moderate people. They're just people that are experts.
All right, Rhodes and Obama surrounded by moderates. Got it. the comedy gold that these people churn out on a date. We weren't ideological at all. No. We were just moderates. I didn't know if they were left-wingers sitting next to me or not when I was in the Situation Room. They've gone silent, Obama and others. I guess he still has his cushy job, but Obama's been silenced. Obama's been exposed. Listen to, again, this to just Jack Smith dropping these cases, and now you've got Bondi coming in if she gets confirmed as the AG, the most powerful law enforcement official in the land. And here's one of the left-wing attorneys. He's terrified at what this means for, you know, you talk about autocrats that remain in power forever. That's what we've had in the deep state. These bureaucrats, and so many of these, the ones that are appointed by Obama, as I've noted, Obama or Biden, I mean, they just pass through. There's bipartisan support. Oh, yes. Everybody's on board with Blinken and with Obama's wingman, for sure. Eric Holder, put him on through. 20 Republic, Lindsey Graham and company, yeah, let's get him in. And they're all the same people since the Obama years. I mean, Obama has been in charge for 12 out of the last 16 years. Obama's people are everywhere in the deep state. You can't get rid of them. Well, now that may be possible. And this is why they're panicking. Clip 7.
We have a really demoralized career staff, people putting their resumes on the street, people being really afraid of what Trump's entry will mean for the storied DOJ function of doing justice without fear or favor. This is the worst crisis I've ever seen in DOJ history.
Wow, the worst crisis ever for the DOJ. This is from NBC News on Jack Smith. Special counsel Jack Smith filed motions to drop all federal charges against Donald Trump regarding his mishandling of classified documents and his efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump was first indicted in June 2023 in a federal court in Miami on 37 felony counts related to mishandling classified documents that he took from the White House to his Florida home. I remember that well. We just landed in Florida for one of the Celtic Throne shows. And I didn't talk to all the people that came to the show, but one guy kind of blurted out something when we were leaving, just how angry he was. But the as I've noted before, the crowd seemed subdued. I think there was just a lot of anger when the press, the regime media, gleefully announced he's been convicted. That seems like a long time ago. That was just back at the start of June. Look at what's happened. Look at how the tables have turned. It says they included willful retention of national defense. Well, anyway, a Florida judge dismissed the case, but Smith's office had sought an appeal. I mean, this really is fascinating to watch because it all is connected to Obama being silenced. I mean, these people were flying through hoops to manipulate and massage the laws just so that they could get Trump, to even create laws so that they could get Trump. So why aren't they doing that now? Well, a new king is in power in just about 50 days. And then also, the old one, the Antiochus, he's been silenced. He's been silenced before, as I say, nothing stopped them from just corrupting the legal system as they were going forward on their quest to destroy Donald Trump. Why would Trump's election just suddenly stop the lawfare effort? Why would it just suddenly stop all of this, well, this fake insurrection? You know, where's the FBI creating some kind of a false flag operation to get Trump? They've been defanged. And when you step back and look at the bigger picture, again, they're going against God. God, it's ordained of God, as we read in Romans 13. This is of God. God put him back in power. They couldn't steal it. They couldn't rig it. They couldn't assassinate him. They couldn't put him in prison. And now they can't very well stop his agenda. What a difference. Just comparing it to 2016. It's so different. 60% of the country supports his transition. The New York Times says, liberals bet they could beat Trump with the law, and they lost. This is the New York Times. You can't make this up. There's an ounce of humility here. I mean, this is written by a left-winger. The years-long effort to vanquish Donald Trump in court was a dismal failure. For liberals like me, it may be tempting to attribute the collapse of the various cases against him to convenient explanations of process or personnel. The more uncomfortable truth is that our search for political salvation, primarily through the law, has backfired. Uh-oh, a truth bomb just landed on top of this New York Times columnist. Everything we did has backfired. That's why they've gone silent. That's why Jack Smith dropped the cases. I mean, it also proves that the whole point of it was to just destroy Trump politically, which is just disgusting. I think the DOJ does need to be cleaned up. If you can't see that, then you're blind. It says, for decades, liberals have made the mistake of prioritizing legal victories over popular ones. They've tried to fundamentally transform America through the courts, through activist judges. I mean, they sprung to action the moment Donald Trump came into office in 2017. We'll see what happens this time around. I think the judicial overreach that happened all through the Trump years and when he was out of office, illegitimately, I think it's probably going to make even some radical judges think twice about manipulating the judicial system, as so many have done. And then just knowing, too, that there's a more conservative court, thanks again to Jeroboam. And if the court has the president's back this time, you're looking at a leader that's going to come in with some king-like authority. And that's why some of them, Rachel Maddow, that's why they're shaking in their boots. That's why, as, what was it, Littman? What did he say? The people, this is the worst crisis that I've seen in DOJ history. It says, liberals have rooted their opposition to Trump in the law since his first month in office. The legalistic resistance was supercharged in May 2017 when Robert Mueller was appointed as special counsel to investigate Russian election interference and Mr. Trump's collusion with it. I mean, this is the New York Times liberal columnist just going through all the attempts to destroy Trump through the judicial or the legal system. The special counsel, Jack Smith, opened his investigation in November 2022. He had help from the House, which after the Senate acquitted Mr. Trump in his second impeachment, conducted its own January 6 investigation. Jan 6. This is nonstop. We'll never. I heard Adam Kinzinger say that in 10 years, America will know the truth about January 6th. Well, in 10 years? You've been going on for 4 years about how it's the worst thing since the Civil War. How come they don't believe that as the truth now? Because you've been lying. And there's a new FBI director coming in. Some have said Kash Patel. We'll see. You get someone in place at the FBI and the DOJ that's actually serious about investigating the investigators. Why so much silence suddenly from the DOJ? Well, a lot of it comes back to the dear leader being silenced. You can't fight against God and expect to win. You will lose every single time. Sean Davis, he issued this caution yesterday about gloating over Jack Smith finally giving in, finally surrendering. He says people are wrongly celebrating this as a victory and a defeat of lawfare, but we only narrowly escaped, and perhaps only temporarily, the nation-ending consequences of the Democrat declaration of war against the rule of law. People's lives were ruined. Families were bankrupted. I saw another commentator on one of the regime media outlets saying, you know, it just didn't work. Trump had too many resources. You know, his lawyers were quick to respond. And that's not the way the system should work. I mean, would you listen to yourself? We couldn't destroy Donald Trump because he's a billionaire? I mean, open your ears and hear what you're saying. If he just was an ordinary American, we would have destroyed him long ago. Well, that's what they've done to so many January 6 protesters. They don't have the resources to fight back. And Donald Trump does. And so does Elon Musk. That's pretty much what you have to fight against these radicals in this system of injustice, because there's just so many radical judges in place. People's lives were ruined. Families were bankrupted. Had the election gone the other way, Pandora's box would never have closed. And when, not if, Democrats win again, they're going to double down on the lawfare unless there are consequences. People need to go to prison for what they attempted to do to this country. And that's the same message that Steve Bannon and others are trumpeting. You've got to get someone to go into these agencies that are going to administer justice, not retribution, justice. Because there are a lot of evildoers all through the Trump years, a lot of corrupt attorneys. And now attorneys like Littman, he's scared. He's scared. This is the worst crisis in DOJ history. You see why these appointments are so important, whether it's for the FBI or the Attorney General. Speaking of the Attorney General, or the almost Attorney General, this video, it's real. For all that I know, it's real. But it was paid for. It's like a paid for ad, but I know that you'll enjoy this message coming from Matt Gaetz, clip 6.
What's up to the Trumpet Daily Show? Stephen Fleury, you do a terrific job. You're getting tomorrow's news today. and your in-person interviews with General Michael Flynn, Dinesh D'Souza, Carrie Lake, all incredible. Now, obviously, you need to have Matt Gaetz on your show, and we've got a lot to expose still. There's work ahead for the Trump administration, for the America First movement, and you know what? It might be a fun thing for us to have a discussion about. So keep up the tremendous work at the Trumpet Daily, exposing evil. Continue changing everyone's life for the better with your show. And know that you've got a lot of fans out there who love you, Stephen Fleury. Take it easy.
There you go. You can see, I think it's on the screen there, Cameo. Evidently, it's some website where if you pay a few hundred dollars, well, depending on, I guess, the fame of the celebrity or the political official, you can get them to read a statement. So, and Matt Gaetz is, I don't believe he's a fan of the show, but he's now, at least after reading this script, he's aware of the show. We got to get him on the show. He's probably got some free time now until he's appointed, maybe as the assistant deputy or something at the DOJ, or maybe special counsel. Many people are speculating that. To investigate the investigators, that would be quite the turning of tables, for sure. In any event, this comes from one of our avid listeners, who's evidently got a few extra $100 to try this out. Sam should get on this Cameo and offer a hearty endorsement for $5, supporting Whoopi Goldberg. How about that? This is coming back to a more serious point with respect to going after these corrupt investigators. This was Darren Beatty. He was on with Steve Bannon earlier today, clip 4.
And look, I've been on this show many times to maintain that in my view, and in the view of many others for, you know, a lot of justification, Department of Justice is the key item. The Department of Justice is the first, most important precondition to cleaning out the swamp entirely. And it's something that, unlike our corrupted intelligence agencies, cuts closer to the core of our self-conception as Americans, because we think of ourselves as a nation governed by the rule of law. And when that very concept is perverted, corrupted, weaponized the fashion that it has been through Biden, but really going back to Obama, that's when we start to think of ourselves, again, with sad justification, as a banana republic.
Notice how he says there, it all goes back to the dear leader. If you're going to straighten out the deep state, all that's wrong with it, you've got to start at the Department of Justice. I mean, that's the department that's supposed to be there to uphold the rule of law, to apply it fairly to everyone, no matter their political persuasion. You've got a clean house there if you can straighten this out. Otherwise, we're a banana republic. That's what Obama wanted. That's what Ben Rhodes wanted. They wanted to weaponize these agencies, and they did. And President Trump sees that now more clearly than ever. Last week, I went through quite a few of these articles about Obama being silenced, as I say. The fact that the country has simmered down and the country's silent, or at least it's quiet and calm, it has a lot to do with God, not just installing the leader, as Romans 13 brings out, but he's also silenced the dear leader. He's silenced Obama. This one from Liberal Patriot, I think I read through this last week, but farewell to the rising American electorate. The Obama coalition is not coming back. Obama is not coming back. Over at American Greatness, Barack Obama, the political genius that wasn't. That's brutal. It says here, the presidential election was as much about Barack Obama as it was about Kamala Harris and the Democrats, revealing that the former president holds little sway over voters eager to turn the page. That's what you see in the poll that you saw in the cold open. 60% of Americans, yeah, like what President Trump's doing. I like what his transition team is doing. I support it. It says, over the summer of 2024, Obama emerged as a central figure in the government in government censorship of the internet while launching a new campaign against gun ownership. In earlier times, the spectacle, well, that's from American Greatness. Another one here from the Daily Mail. I might have touched on this last week as well. Obama's biographer reveals ex-president fears for his legacy after tone-deaf preaching harmed Harris's campaign. Kamala Harris spent $1.5 billion. She was only in the running for like, what, 2 or 3 months? This article, I'll bring it to you next time. She was spending $100 million a week. This was the worst political campaign in history, easily. It was a slush fund, really. I mean, if Dinesh D'Souza, for his campaign finance violations, if he was given charge of that campaign with $1.5 billion, and he spent it the way that Kamala's people did, he'd be going to prison for 500 years. Paying celebrities, paying off Al Sharpton at MSNBC, paying off Oprah. It's unbelievable what these people, they finally have been exposed. But as Beatty pointed out, I mean, some of them need to go to jail to send a message. If you're ever going to straighten out Maine justice, hopefully Bondi or whoever will have the courage to make some of these things right again. It says here, Barack Obama and his wife Michelle have been slammed by his biographer for talking down to voters in a tone-deaf and clueless preaching that harmed Harris's ill-fated presidential campaign. The effect was so bad that, combined with Donald Trump's victory, it's likely to reduce the 44th president's political relevance to Bill Clinton levels, David Garrow said in an exclusive interview with DailyMail.com. Garrow, Sam's had an exchange with him through email. He hates Donald Trump. He despises Trump. But he sees what's happened to the dear leader as well. It says, I thought it was tone deaf and clueless for him to preach as they did. I would expect that perception will be shared by lots of people. If so, I think it reduces their relevance to Bill Clinton territory. Garrow wrote the 2017 biography, Rising Star, The Making of Barack Obama. It says he predicted that the Obamas will now largely vanish from the political scene to hang out with celebrities on Martha's Vineyard. Hang out with the celebrities. Hang out with Harry and Meghan. You might have to do it separately if they get divorced, but still, they're wealthy. They're rich. Just stay at Martha's Vineyard. See how they like illegals as they come streaming into the rich neighborhoods of Massachusetts. This is from the Federalist. The biggest losers on election night were the Obamas. The Obamas? Not the Harrises? Not the Bidens? No, the biggest losers were the Obamas. It says about a week before the final day of the election, the Wall Street Journal published an editorial titled, A Harris Victory Means the Fourth Term of Obama. We went through that story with you. The fourth term. That's what America was staring at. That's what America narrowly avoided because of God. He tilted the head a little bit, so to speak, and made sure that it was too big to rig. It was ordained of God. And of course, if we acknowledge that, if we accept that, then we've got to take it further and think, okay, what is God expecting of us? What does he expect of you? What's he expecting me to do with that information? Why did he ordain this? Why did he intervene? Why has he revealed this in advance? You can see all of that in America Under Attack. You can see it at our website. The day after the regime media anointed Joe Biden as fake president. When was that? November 7, 2020? Well, go look at our website articles from November 8 and November 9. Look at our trumpet magazines from December, January, February, following the fake president being installed. And you see the same message. You can subscribe to The Trumpet. You can order your free copy of America Under Attack. Just go to the 800 number or dial that number, 1-866-930-3024. I guess we don't dial much anymore. Those were the good old days, the phone dial. I'm exposing my age. Now I guess you point. It says about a week before I read that, no one has had more influence on the Democrat Party in the last decade than the Obamas. The Biden-Harris administration was essentially Obama's third term, filled with former Obama administration operatives from Susan Rice to John Kerry, and it was quick to resume Obama's domestic and international policies. Obama's people through and through. So what's wrong? Why aren't they fighting like they used to? Why aren't they manipulating the legal system? Why aren't they stabbing Trump in the back? Why are more and more senators and congressmen and women saying, you know, I'll support Trump's policies? I mean, he has a mandate for his agenda. It says, after getting Biden out of the way, the Obamas, with their unparalleled influence, identified Harris as the torchbearer of their leftist legacy. Obama couldn't hide his contempt when it appeared that Harris was losing support among male voters. Well, then he goes into the lecture that Obama gave to those young black men in Pennsylvania. Didn't go over well. The dear leader, they didn't swoon before the dear leader that time. Politico, Trump has humiliated his foes. They've been humiliated. They've been defanged. The resistance is losing steam. How is this possible? Well, it all goes back to, it's all connected to Obama. Semaphore, the website, the 2024 election buried Barack Obama's coalition. They all lost, it says. So did the theory of the new Democratic coalition that was born with Barack Obama's 2008 victory, nearly died with Trump's 2016 upset, and got buried on Tuesday night, the election night. It got buried, the Obama coalition, the Obama agenda, the Obama transformation. It was buried. Who did it? God did it. He did it through Donald Trump. Now, obviously, we were saying what we were saying. I'm talking about The Trumpet and America Under Attack. The moment they rigged the election, the moment they stole it, we said that Trump was coming back. But if you go back to 2008, the lead up to Obama, when they were all swooning, when the whole world, the 200,000 people turned out for his speech in Germany, of all places, he was loved worldwide. He was loved across the nation. The regime media worshipped him. And then what were we saying? This is from a coworker letter my father wrote, June 26, 2008. So this was right in the midst of the campaign, when the regime media refused to vet this political newbie. Just came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who he was before 2004. He was just serving in a state office before that. He makes a speech in 2004, and then just 4 years later, he's voted president of the United States. My father said this before that happened. He said, if poisonous ideas are given credibility by educational leaders who are mostly elite white Americans, it shouldn't surprise us that African-American leaders are receptive to them too. I can easily understand why blacks would give credence to some very poisonous and false ideas if those ideas are coming out of our top universities. So who is really to blame? It says, this presidential election is different than any other. It is revealing a lot of racism in America, but there is the hidden danger. It's also inflaming more racism as it continues. He said that from the start. Obama was inflaming race issues, racism. It says here, after winning the Democratic nomination, Mr. Obama immediately appointed Howard Dean to continue in his office. It sounds like an appointment Jeremiah Wright would advise him to make. You can be sure that decision is going to nurture and advance racism in the country. And then you look at all that, that happened during Obama's first and second term. You know, policemen being shot all over the country. Just venomous hatred being spewed out against white people primarily during those two terms. And the Obamas leading the charge, saying that we had it built into our DNA. And then you fast forward to this past election and you see more black people than ever turning out to vote for a white Donald Trump, or some would say orange. Either way, a white man that the regime media told us was Hitler. I mean, this is a pretty dramatic change. My father's assessment at that time, it was spot on. Mr. Obama says he's going to bring the races together, but we are seeing actions that will do just the opposite. As we said at the time, I mean, it was like a ticking time bomb that was about to go off. And there were, I mean, you think of that shooting in Dallas, you think of those two, three officers that were murdered in Louisiana. I mean, and all of those fake, you know, police brutality stories that Scarborough and company got behind and amplified as loudly as they could to try to tell you that the police, even if they were black officers, they were racist. They had it in for black people. They were out to get people. They were out to abuse their power. And then all that came to a screeching halt on January 6, 2021. Then, of course, the police were to be revered. That you were to swoon before the police. These people, their fake and false narratives have been exposed. We showed you that Axios meltdown yesterday on the show. I won't even say the title because it's just, I mean, it's childish. But a title from Axios today that's just ridiculously off the charts as far as craziness goes. And they take themselves so seriously. We're the news. We're serious. We research. And Elon Musk and Twitter, that's not news at all. And then they come out with this bizarro, crazy headline the next day, the very next day. It's embarrassing. It says here, the news media and many educators agree with Howard Dean's view about bringing the races together. Further on, my father says, if you sit in the congregation of a hateful racist, he's talking about Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor. Okay, this is history. Some of us are old enough to remember. If you sit in the congregation of a hateful racist for 20 years, have him marry you, and baptize your children, isn't it likely that some of that racism will infect you? In Mr. Obama's case, it's much more so since his father deserted him at age 2. Then his mother deserted him in his high school years. This was a young, pliable man desperately searching for a father figure, and he found one in Jeremiah Wright. My father says there is no evidence that Barack Obama ever challenged one of Jeremiah Wright's racist, hateful views, not even one. So, I mean, there you get some, that's some pretty good vetting from the Trumpet magazine. Back in 2008, back when the dear leader should have been vetted. God allowed it all to happen, though. And here we are. Here we are, 16 years on, waiting on God. We're surrounded by evildoers, as it says in Psalm 37. And God says, that's okay. Just rest in the Lord, and I'll take care of it. I'll silence him. And now he's done that. That's all we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and I'll see you again tomorrow.